Let's pray. Lord, guide us this morning in your truth. Give us your grace, Lord. Help us to reflect your humility and remember your humility on the cross, beyond today, Lord, but in our everyday lives. Amen. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. We take this time every Sunday to remember Christ as he commanded with bread and with juice. This is a sobering time which stirs our affections with the glorious truth of the gospel. It is a time intended for believers to remember what Christ has done in our lives, to rejoice in his gospel. This is a time intended exclusively for believers. So if you are not a Christian and you're here with us today, we welcome you and we urge you to repent and believe in Jesus and share in our remembrance. But if you will not believe, then we ask that when the elements come by in a few moments that you let them pass. This is not intended to embarrass you. And if you have concerns with this, please don't hesitate to speak with me, with one of the elders after the service. Jesus' death and resurrection are the supreme example of humility. We are called to remember this example in communion. But we must do more than simply remember Jesus with our minds. And we must do more than merely proclaim his death with our mouths. Through the gospel, God gave us new hearts so that we may remember him and we proclaim him daily with our lives. Living in humility toward one another is a powerful way to proclaim and to remember his humble sacrifice, the very thing which we do here in communion. Let's look down in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter writes, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." Peter is writing this to Christians who are suffering through persecution under the upside-down morality of Rome. Despite the severity of their trials, they are commanded to humble themselves before one another. Like Peter's audience in our daily lives, we often allow trials and problems to obstruct our view of those around us. We fail to humble ourselves toward others because of our trials and our concerns. But this is not what we see when we look to Peter's command here, and this is not what we see when we look to Jesus' example. For instance, what did Jesus do on the night before his murder? Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, the only one intrinsically deserving humility, what did he do before he sweat blood over his impending death? He cared for his disciples, humbling himself by washing their feet. His impending trial, infinitely more troublesome than anything we'll ever face, did not preclude him from humbling himself before men. Peter directs this command in verse 5 for humility toward everyone within the body. His command is irrespective of position or rank within the body. Whether they be young or old, male or female, if they are humble or proud themselves, you must humble yourself before every person, before every type of person within the body. In humbling ourselves before one another, we proclaim Christ daily with our lives. This is a reflection and a remembrance of Christ. And believers, the text here even tells us that God gives his grace to those who are humble. Believers, take comfort in the fact that your humility and God's grace are not dependent upon you. They are gifts from God. We don't act humble, hoping to reach God's grace. Humility is the natural outworking of one who has died to himself and risen with Christ. So, believer, God has given you the gift of grace, and God has given you the gift of humility as a reflection of himself through his Son. As believers, we battle our flesh, which tries to subvert our thinking. Our flesh hates God's design, and our flesh finds a vulgar comfort in control and in self-focus. We look for excuses to make ourselves gods by elevating our trials, and we disguise our pride in language of humility and godliness. When battling this pride, remember, brothers and sisters, we find no reason for pride in the gospel. There is nothing in the gospel message which should leave us wanting to elevate ourselves. Let us remember that the very God who has unending power and infinite wisdom, that God made us. He not only made us, but he made us in his image of humble, self-giving love. He not only made us in his image of humble, self-giving love, but he also gave himself in the person of Jesus on the cross as an example of his humble, self-giving love. The King of all that is good was rejected and he was murdered so that he could redeem the very scum who hated his rule and sought to dethrone him. We are naturally a murderous, hateful, immoral, lying group of helpless, uncaring, depraved men. Redeemed by the death of the only one who is good, who didn't owe us a thing beyond judgment and death. Jesus made us in his image of humility, and he condescended to our level, humbling himself in order to be murdered for our sakes, so that we might be redeemed. Knowing this about our God, understanding the depth of his humility, should we not rejoice in this remembrance and follow in his example of humility? As the men come forward here, if you refuse to believe in Jesus and repent and humble yourself, then again, please let the elements pass you by as we remember his humble sacrifice. This is a time for those of us who have been redeemed by the humble sacrifice of Christ on the cross to remember him and proclaim his death. If you are redeemed, then remember Christ. Praise God. Take some time to reflect on the humility of Christ, its implications on your life, and you are living out this humility toward other members of this body. And please take the bread and the juice as you are prepared.